Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. We hope the start of the day is treating you good for this April 26th, 2023. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
Good stuff for you lined up in this hour. We're going to get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all of that coming up for you. Right now, kicking things off with some entertainment news. And we have to start right here, everybody. Dale! Daylight come and me want to go home. We lost one of our greats yesterday.
Yeah.
Harry Belafonte passed away. Actor, singer, activist Harry Belafonte passed away yesterday of congestive heart failure. He was 96 years old.
Wow.
It is always a little bit melancholy losing somebody like this. I don't know about anybody else, but when they're in their 90s or something, not that it makes it any easier, but there's something about it that... I feel it's been a good life, a long life, you know.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah.
It's a probably Harry best known for the Deo song, the Banana Boat song, of course, which got a second life in the 80s thanks to Beetlejuice, which so many of us grew up on and loved. Some of us even got our first crush, one of our first crushes from that movie, Winona Ryder. he was also one of the first non-white actors to achieve leading man status with movies like 1957's Island in the Sun, along with, of course, one of his greatest longtime friends, Sidney Poitier. More on that in a moment. He was also well known for his activism, whether he was marching with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or working with USA for Africa, which was the organization that made the single We Are the World to raise money to combat famine. He was the first black man to kiss a white woman in a movie or a TV,
something like that.
One of the two.
Yeah.
I know that's the fact, though. I know that was a fact.
Yeah.
And he was also, of course, longtime friends with Sidney Poitier, who died last year. In the early 70s, they did two great movies together, Buck and the Preacher, and, of course, the classic Uptown Saturday Night, which had everybody in it.
Yes.
It was a ton of great actors in that one, and comedians and stuff. You got Richard Pryor in that movie.
Yeah.
That's a classic. I don't think that Harry Belafonte ever got his due. I don't know that we ever treated him, you know, we do this when somebody passes, you know, of course, and everything. But in his lifetime, I don't feel like he ever really got his due. I remember him doing a movie with John Travolta back in the day that took a lot of heat because they flipped the roles. White people were in the roles of black people and all this. And I don't know how well the movie holds up or anything like that. But I remember... He was starring in this movie with John Travolta, and I remember thinking, wow, Harry Belafonte's still acting, still in movies and everything, and it just seemed like nobody knew who he was. And this was a while back, of course, and everything, but it's after Beetlejuice, it's after stuff, and I don't feel like he ever got his due. I just don't.
Well, you have to realize when he came out with the Banana Boat song, it basically started a craze in the United States. Calypso was a musical style that was not really well known until he released that. It became a big hit. And then for a couple of years, Calypso was huge in popular music.
So Tito Puente.
Yeah, I mean, he had a big influence on that. So that's what most people remember him by, was at least from that day. But, of course, he got into acting and everything. My favorite Harry Belafonte story is one of the reasons why the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour got canceled or got fired, as Tommy always said. He was in a bit they did. He was singing "Don't Stop the Carnival," while on the screen behind him they were showing footage of the 1968 Democratic Convention riots.
Wow.
While he's singing "Don't Stop the Carnival," it was censored. They would not allow them to show that on national television.
Wow.
It became a big fight, and that was one of the things that led to the show being canceled.
Was
because of that. And that spoke to his activism as well.
Yes.
Because you're right, up till the day he died, he was very he was very active in that community about not only about people from his country, I'm trying to remember what country, what
he's from
island he's from. Yeah, he's from.
I don't remember specific island.
Yeah, but he's from the Caribbean, and for people of that, so I mean, for sure. I think in the end, he'll probably be remembered more for that maybe than his music or his acting.
Yes, I think so. This is a pretty cool thing to be able to tell everybody, because of course we are the home for all Dolly Parton news. Dolly Parton's first rock album is coming out this fall. It's called Rockstar, and now we know when we'll hear the first single. She told Good Morning America, It'll debut May 11th at the end of the ACM Awards, which she's co-hosting with Garth Brooks.
Nice.
Nice.
So the song is called World on Fire. She says it's sort of a rock anthem. That's pretty cool.
That's nice.
She's apparently got some big names joining her on the album. Of course, we touched on this a little bit, but now we have the official list. We don't know exactly who yet, but a few names we've seen tossed around. But I'm saying that these are reported now. Okay. They've been the consistent names, at least. Stevie Nicks, Steve Perry, Miley Cyrus, Cher, Pink, Elton John, Steven Tyler, Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, and Paul McCartney.
Finally. Finally.
Beatle and Dolly doing a song together.
Oh, that's crazy.
Man, that is so darn cool. That could be the worst song in human history, and I will love it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. In other Dolly news, the site studyfinds.com just ranked her top five songs according to fans and critics. They went through a dozen lists by sites like Billboard and Rolling Stone and based it all on all of the official rankings combined. And guess what number one is? Let's go ahead and do this 5-1.
Okay.
So at number five, Here You Come Again. That's such a sweet song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really get tired of that song. That's a really sweet song. 9-5 at number four.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I Will Always Love You at number three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jolene at number two. Mm. And Code of Many Colors from 1971 at number one.
Wow. Hmm. Really?
Not the way I would have guessed that
no.
list to go.
No. Interesting. Yeah. Fascinating.
That's pretty
goodness.
Interesting. I wonder if the Code of Many Colors is more famous because of so much of the things she's done later in life with the Imagination Library and some of those things. Of course, we encourage you to reach out to our friends at the United Way and learn more about the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. That's how I found out about them, thanks to the United Way. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you to do that. Go to uwswac.org to do that right now.
From our
books this week, if you can.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Still doing
yes.
their book drive.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in our good stories a little bit later.
Shameless plug. Try that again.
Second take and go.
Shameless plug time, everybody. Tomorrow night, of course, is Thursday from 7 to 8. You can listen to Trail Tunes on WIRI, Wisc Country 105.5. And you will hear the lovely Dolly Parton
nice.
Singing a song that you may have not heard. You've probably heard the song, maybe not her version of it, Mule Skinner Blues.
Oh, wow.
It's a classic, and yeah. I really liked her version, so I'm going to include that in the show tomorrow.
Cool.
So if you want some more Dolly, there you go.
When is that show on, Seth?
From 7 to 8 on WIRI.
Yeah.
Trail Tunes. Check it out.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. Very proud of that show. So here's another one, as long as we're talking music and everything, that threw me a little bit. If you're into new metal, that's NU metal,
yes.
you'll be pleased to know that interest in the subgenre is at an all-time high, even higher than when it first came out, they're saying.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible. How does that work? And how do they figure that out? But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. This is according to a Google Trends graph. Google started tracking it in 2004, and this is the first time it's exceeded its previous peak almost 20 years ago.
Jeez.
It's safe to say it might be making a comeback, so time to break out the Limp Bizkit, Korn and all that and everything. So,
I was going to say, do we have to think about Fred Durst? I don't want to think about Fred Durst.
I don't want to think about Fred Durst. I definitely don't. I still listen to Korn, so I'm not even going to apologize for that. But I haven't listened to Limp Bizkit or any of that stuff in long time.
Korn was on the higher end of that. There were some bands that were... Ugh.
Jonathan Davis is an actual musical talent.
Yeah.
Like Fred Durst, nobody's ever said... Fred Durst hasn't even said that about himself. Like Fred Durst, by the way, I guarantee you, whatever he's doing right now, still walking around with that red baseball cap turned backwards.
Oh,
I don't know how old he is. I don't know what he's doing with his life these
now,
days.
But yeah,
but he has definitely got that hat, especially now that he's balder. He's definitely. See, it just happens. I find that very weird. Like of all the subgenres of music to kick out,
metal.
This is a weird one to me. But it also shouldn't be too surprising because. We really haven't grown music that differently. Like music is all blended now.
It is really.
I don't think it's far fetched to say that we're not that far away from like the majority of music. You're always going to have certain genres, but of like just it all just being music.
A big mass of culture, right?
It's already happened. It's already gone on back with country music we grew up on. Like so much of it, and you hear so many people say that's not true country. That's not real country. That's pop. What do you hear me and some of my friends say about? about some of the modern hip hop nowadays and everything. That's not real hip hop. That ain't rap. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
I didn't realize that this was a subgenre. Because I mean, I listen to a lot of these bands: Flyleaf, Stained, Incubus, Evanescence, Breaking Benjamin. I like those bands, but I didn't know they were new metal.
Of a genre, yeah.
I didn't know this until a couple of years back, and I grew up listening to a lot of the same music too, Melissa. Yeah, I don't ever remember anybody saying, "Hey, this is new metal, new metal, or whatever, or anything like that."
Well, and the fact that they spell it new N-U, I mean, it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Seriously, no. You guys, you're both way above me on this one. I had no interest in this music ever.
Here's an interesting story, and Steven Spielberg, like a lot of longtime directors like Martin Scorsese and that, have been coming out and having a lot of feedback on not only their movies, but on the modern movies. Spielberg, unlike a lot of them, has not been very controversial with a lot of his statements and things like that. He's actually been pretty supportive of young filmmakers, and I think because he gets it. I think he understands that it's bigger than him, it's bigger than Martin Scorsese, it's bigger than any of us. Mm-hmm. It's film. It should always be bigger than the talent. That's the point of this. It's no different than sports. Nobody is ever bigger than the game. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you might have forgotten about when E.T. the Extraterrestrial celebrated its 20th anniversary in 2002, Steven Spielberg made a noticeable revision. He edited out the guns held by government agents and replaced them with walkie-talkies. But the 30th anniversary, for the 30th anniversary, he brought the guns back. And in an interview at Time Magazine's 100 Summit, he called it all a mistake. Steven says, quote, E.T. is a product of its era. No film should be revised based on the lens we now are. Either voluntarily or being forced to peer through. All our movies are a kind of a signpost of where we were when we made them, what the world was like, and what the world was receiving when we got these stories out there. Now, hindsight is always 2020,
right?
And I think that it's very important that we pay attention to this subject of the past and how we tell young people about it, how we explain it, and those things. I could not agree with him more. There's a big difference of tearing down a statue of a slave owner or something like that or whatever that, we're going to know the history of. It's not like as if you take a statue of Robert E. Lee down and everybody's going to forget who Robert E. Lee is, and little kids aren't going to know who Robert E. Lee is.
Right.
That's what teaching's for. That's what history class
that's
is for.
History books are for.
Part of what we have the internet for.
Yeah.
The internet, you can't forget anything anymore. What do they always tell you? Nothing gets erased off the internet.
It's there forever.
It's there forever.
There forever.
Like, and just as a side note, Robert E. Lee, you can look this up yourselves, did not want a statue. His quote exactly, "You don't make statues for people in second place." That is Robert E. Lee's quote. I think you should listen to the guy.
Yeah.
The idea of like, that's part of art. That's the part of art, one of the things of art. You look at a painting from Van Gogh or something like that, and it's going to be different art. It's going to be different paint that he used than a modern painter would use. Mm-hmm. There's a beauty to that. There is the way the vision that we look at things, the way we see things. Mm-hmm. In the 80s, not one person was complaining about there being too many guns in movies and TV shows. Maybe there was a little of that from like Tipper Gore and some people like that and everything, but not a whole lot of it, not where we are now with this subject.
Right.
But you cannot revise the past. You have to own the past. It doesn't mean that we have to live in it. It doesn't mean that we have to revisit it or anything like that as far as like, hey, we should bring this back or something. We live and we learn and we grow. That's society. That's life. It's not a bad thing. It means that you have to do some parenting maybe. It means you maybe have to do some teaching.
Have some conversations.
Yeah. But
to go in and change it, that's wrong. If they want to do a remake... And
that's different.
That's different.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's completely different. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But you do the future no favors.
Favors.
By erasing the past. I don't think that's. I don't think that there's many people that want to do that, by the way. I don't think that there's...
No.
When we have people like the taking down, a statue or wanting to revise a history book or something, that's more about representation. That's more about like, hey, it's not just about white people, okay? Other people live in this country too. If you don't like that, you can do the same thing you've told us for millions of years. Move. You know, I mean, it's no different. It's not like, you know, you and your family, all your whole origin story came right here from America. No, you were immigrants, too.
Yeah.
Outside of any Native American people listening out there, we say good morning to. you got here, too, as an immigrant. So you're no different.
Yeah.
This is part of the beauty of America is our tapestry is so wide flexed and so all over the place. There are good, there are bad, there are things that we can, but all of it we can own.
Mm-hmm.
and learn from.
Yeah, yeah, and that's one of the great things about movies.
Yes,
is reflecting the era that they're in. It shows a lot of that history, even if it's a fictional story. Yeah, so what? It still shows certain aspects of what was going on at the time. And not only, you know, there's negative parts to it, but there's also positive things that we can learn about this. Like, oh, wow, that's the way things were back then. Mm-hmm. So I think, like you said, we have to take both the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is. But just we need to keep it there so we can refer to it in the present and in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I learned this morning, adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind is still the highest grossing film of all time.
There you go.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
That's so interesting. That's so interesting.
Wow.
I do have to real quickly. E.T. was the second movie I saw in the theater.
Uh-huh.
And my dad took me and a bunch of friends to go see it. And never forget my dad sitting next to this big African-American gentleman who I thought he knew, but he didn't. They talked the whole movie. You would have thought these two were best friends. They talked the whole movie, and I'll never forget that opening. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen E.T.
Oh, gosh.
The opening scene when we first see E.T. and Elliot's getting the Reese's Pieces and everything, and he's walking up to him and stuff, and you see him come out of the shack or whatever.
Yeah.
My dad leaning over to me, and this is the only time he used a quiet voice in the whole time we were watching the movie. Jimmy, you ever see anything like that? You get your mother and me, and you come find us right now. He could not have been more serious about this. I can't stress how serious my father was about if an extraterrestrial comes up to me, make sure I run and find my mother and him to tell them.
Just to be safe.
I've told this story before. I don't think I'm being clear enough to people, though. For one, not only the seriousness of my father in this moment, but why he said this. It wasn't about like protecting me. They wanted to see it.
Oh.
They just wanted to see it and stuff. They just thought it was cool. Like, I'm sure there's a little protection in there. Hey, don't let your kid like go and touch this alien or anything. But he was also very curious.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of quick notes before we go to break. Again, that two-hour special, The Cara Burnett, 90 Years of Laughter and Love, is on at 7 o'clock tonight on NBC. I encourage you to check that out. There's also a Winona Judd, Between Hell and Hallelujah, on Paramount Plus. And the third season of Awkwafina's Awkwafina is Nora from Queens is on Comedy Central today.
So, all right.
That's another good one. And tonight, Seth and I have the privilege and the joy of recording Director's Cut. Seth and I are going to be heading over. We're actually taking the show on location.
We are.
We are once.
It was the first time.
Yeah, second time.
Oh, no, that's right. We did
went
it in the
to
theater.
WRCT to interview Tim and Beth.
Yep.
But yeah, this is our second time. We hope to do more of this. We are going to be going to the Lizard's Den.
Yes, yes. And I just thought of this. This just totally occurred to me that when we play this episode, this will be the first time anyone will hear recorded Ben Chetek playing with lizards.
That's right.
The first time.
Oh, cool.
We get to share that with the world. How awesome is that?
That is really cool. I'm realizing that as you are.
Yeah.
I did not even think about that. But yeah, I was excited about this. This band has been around since 89. They have entertained you in almost every place you can think of. They're one of our favorite bands. We love these guys. They have been through a lot in their time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to discuss a little of that. We're going to talk about their last album and the new album they have coming out, the connection that has. We're certainly going to talk about Jeff Weaver a little bit. I'm looking forward to that very much. I'm floored that we get to do this. It's so awesome. We're so looking forward to this. I just want to let everybody know that episode will premiere this Sunday on Director's Cut. The podcast drops usually a little bit later after that.
That's right.
So if you're not able to catch it, be sure to. Seth, we got to talk about what leads into that. Seth Faces the Music. You're bringing another one back here.
Yeah. I got quite a bit to do this week, so I'm going to be coming a rebroadcast,
mm-hmm.
a refresh, mm-hmm. refresher. I don't know
what you want to
call it.
Like
it, you know, of an old show.
I realized
I had done a whole bunch of new shows in a row, and I was like, oh gosh, man, I don't know if I'm gonna have enough time this week. And I was like, ah, that's okay. We'll throw one on there that I haven't heard in a while. So if you missed any of them, you can go ahead and listen this week. Also, several of the playlists are on Spotify as well. Just type in Seth Faces the Music. You'll see all of them right there.
Nice.
You can find this future, this interview with the Legends of the Lizards going to be coming up this Sunday. You can find all of our shows right at civicmedia.us. Just go into our podcast set. You go into shows and mm-hmm. you'll find all of our podcasts, including last week's great episode. Again, a big thank you to Rick Humphreys and David Strong for joining us as well for that mm-hmm. conversation. We will take a break. I just saw the title of the last episode before that, Seth. That was a great title. Yeah. You're so good at these and labeling these things, and I love the way you label these. Again, civicmedia.us. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and we got the 15 best 90s cartoons.
Oh, wow.
We're getting into that one.
Okay.
We're going to debate that one.
Yes, yes, yes. Well said. Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Seth, Melissa, and James here with you, and we're diving into the 90s again. It's something our show does quite a bit, actually.
Let's listen.
The 90s were a good time for cartoons, but what was your favorite? The website slashfilm.com chose the 15 best, and here they are. We are going to start at 15.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I will go ahead. How about I go through these, and then you guys can chime in with where you think things should have ranked on the
sure.
list or any honorable mentions or anything like that.
Sounds good.
Number 15, Darkwing Duck.
Oh. That's a good one.
My brother yep. liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dexter's Laboratory.
Yes.
Dexter's Laboratory. I can't remember his. I loved his accent.
He had the weirdest accent.
The weirdest accent. And they never addressed it, but I was always hoping that like he just like talked like that. Like, because yeah. nobody else in his family talked
no.
like that. So
no.
just as a little kid, he just decided
yeah,
he
right.
was going to talk like that. This is I was obviously a little older with these mm-hmm. and stuff. So these feels like more of my brother and sister's cartoons.
Yeah.
But I thought that was such a cool cartoon.
Yeah, that
I always
was a good
thought
one.
That was a good one.
I like that one a lot.
Spider-Man comes in at 13.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That was the good Spider-Man
I
one.
Think
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
I think it was.
There's been so many Spider-Man cartoons.
There has
cartoons.
Been a lot of them. Just every Spider-Man cartoon is the Spider-Man meme, just
yeah,
pointing,
right.
pointing at each other. And number 12 on the list, but number one with my sister, the Powerpuff Girls.
The Powerpuff
yeah.
Girls. Or... they're having a resurgence right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
They're coming back, yes.
I thought that was such a cool little show that empowered young girls.
Yeah.
That really was a fun little concept and everything. And some of the better villains I've ever seen in a cartoon before. I am Mojo Jojo. You do not understand Mojo Jojo. I do not understand what I am Mojo Jojo.
Also, they slipped in some not super adult, but they slipped in some
yeah,
jokes in
yeah,
there that only adults would have gotten.
Yeah.
The kids
yeah.
would have right over their yeah. heads. Yep.
What was it? Him or something like that? The one villain, the devil-like villain?
Yeah.
One of the creepiest villains I've ever seen in anything, let alone cartoons. Doug comes in at 11.
Oh, oh my gosh. I forgot all about Doug.
That was a really popular one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Wild Thornberries at number 10.
I don't think I ever saw an episode
that
of that one.
I don't remember that one. Don't remember that.
I think that was a spinoff of something else.
Okay. You might be right.
Hmm. At number 9, The Magic School Bus.
Oh,
yes,
Miss Frizzle.
The Magic School Bus.
Yes.
Worst teacher ever. No, I'm kidding.
Constantly putting your kids in danger.
I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. I'm joking, obviously. I honestly never saw that show. I've never seen that. It was a great show. My brother and sister loved that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how my kids even like that show and stuff. So not mm-hmm. talking badly about
yeah.
it at all. It just was, I was a little older. For
yeah,
me,
exactly.
So.
I watched that a lot when I was babysitting. But to go back to, The Wild Thornberries was a spinoff of The Rugrats.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Did not know that.
Didn't
no
either. Yeah.
I never watched The Rugrats, so I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, yeah. That type of animation I was never a fan of. The squiggly. I didn't really like it that much too. So if a cartoon was at that kind of animation, I tended to not see it.
What, even home movies?
Now that's different. That's a little different. Now home movies. One of my favorite cartoon shows of all time.
Sorry, I didn't.
Oh, nicely done though. Nicely done by you. Yes. Number 8 on the list. Another one of my favorite cartoon shows of all time. A top 3 easily, and top 10 favorite TV shows of all time. South Park at number 8.
I forgot that came out in the 90s. Oh my gosh.
Do they use sophomoric humor? Do they push it too far sometimes? Do they be offensive sometimes? Yes.
Sure.
But some of the smartest, greatest writing you will ever see.
And does every show have a moral? Yes.
Yeah. Every show does. And so often they are doing something where it is just like, huh. They got a really it's such the George Carlin school of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Pushing the envelope.
Yes, push the envelope, but also have a point. I'm not just saying something to be offensive. I'm not just saying something to be derogative or because I think it's going to get clicks or something. I got a point, and I'm going to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what Matt and Trey do day in and day out, not only with that show, but with the, you know, the taking Broadway by storm and everything.
Right, the Mormon.
Yeah, so. Yeah. This is an impressive show, I think. Pokemon comes in at number 7.
my oldest is going through all... Yeah. Of the Pokemon.
Oh, boy.
They're still making them, by the way.
Are they?
They're still making Pokemon. Wow. It's still that popular. It is still that popular.
I would have never guessed that.
Crazy.
He's going through them all right now.
the only two things I know about Pokemon is you got to catch them all and Pikachu.
There you go.
That's the end of the list.
That's all you need to know.
That's all I know.
That's really
neat.
Rugrats
at number 6.
There it is.
Yep.
Yeah. I was expecting to see that one up there.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 5, Batman, the animated series. Yes.
That was, oh my gosh. My Batman, was your Batman Kevin Conroy?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have a Batman.
You don't have your own Batman? Oh, okay.
No.
You could be Batman. Just be Batman. Just say, I'm Batman.
I am Batman.
There you go. There, Melissa's Batman. There's an episode of that series that I've always thought, God, I would love, if I was a director, I would turn it into a short film. Easily. I can't remember what the episode's called, but it's all the villains in playing cards. And they're all talking about the time they almost caught the bat.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going on and on and on. Yep. And I almost don't want to ruin it for people in case they haven't seen it.
Right.
It's 20-some minutes of the greatest writing I've seen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so good. It's written so well. Every, like, great villain is in it. Like, it's so well done.
Paul Dini. He was the man behind all that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite episodes was The Return of the Gray Ghost.
Yeah.
Because they got Adam West to do the voice of the Gray Ghost, which is so cool.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I take that back. I do have a Batman.
Okay.
Danny Pudi.
Oh, nice.
Abed and
Pudi. Yeah, Melissa. Yeah. I love Melissa. Yeah. He's so good in that episode. I love when he's struggling to get out the window and he's trying to. I love Danny Pudi. He's so good. Family Guy comes in at number 4. I find it insulting that Family Guy is higher than South Park on the list, but that is my own personal opinion.
Yeah,
I am not going to deny the popularity of Family Guy. I will say they literally have 100 writers on that show, and that's all you come up with. It's the same bit every episode. It's the same bit. It's just trying to push the see how offensive I can be, and also, well, that's like the time it's every episode. It's every scene is that. Not only every episode, it's almost every scene is Peter doing a throwback to something or whatever,
so
they could do something weird and silly and offensive.
Yep.
Like, that's not comedy to me. That's not smart writing to me. And that's fine. Maybe, you know, that's not to say that that's what everybody wants out of entertainment.
True.
To each their own.
100%.
Seth MacFarlane seems to be doing pretty fine without my eyeballs, so I don't think they need me. Number 3 on the list, Arthur.
Arthur. Hmm. And I don't know if they're still making new ones, but that was considered... It's like second to The Simpsons now, I think, as the longest running show of all time. I think they're second to The Simpsons.
I'm blown away by this. I had no idea they turned Arthur into a cartoon. Who knew they turned Arthur into a cartoon? I never saw the cartoon Arthur. Am I wrong? It's not Dudley Moore in cartoon?
No, it's not like that, no.
Oh, darn. I
He's
do
an
know
aardvark.
That, yeah. My kids love that show. My kids love that one. Yeah, a lot of people liked Arthur. Mm-hmm. Animaniacs at number 2.
Oh, one of Beth's favorite shows of all time.
Animaniacs. Animaniacs was great. All three of those characters, wonderful characters. I will say, I think the best part of Animaniacs is it gave us Pinky and the Brain.
Pinky and the Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Pinky, what are we going to do tonight, Brain?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
God, I love that show. Love Pinky and the Brain.
My favorite. I love the theme song because in it that we have pay or play contracts, which is like
it's funny
for a kids' cartoon. Yeah, I love that.
It's great. It's great. And number one on the list, SpongeBob SquarePants.
No way.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Ew.
Now, I will say that as far as popularity goes, I don't think it's any question. Like, the SpongeBob is easily a number one on this list, I would think, just as far as popularity and, you know, pop culture and that kind of thing. None of these, you can make an argument like with Pokemon, you can make, like there were moments in time for all of these things, but the longevity and the consistency of that and like the popularity of it. We just had the Lincoln Kids in talking about the SpongeBob musical.
Oh, yeah.
One of our first interviews on Director's Cut was talking with C-Wack about the SpongeBob musical. And you got two very different age groups there, all of them talking about how much they loved SpongeBob, grew up on it, watching it, all this and everything.
Very popular, like, for sure.
My kids really loved that show, and I don't remember a ton about it, but I remember sitting there watching it with them and them just really enjoying it. I loved that it felt like they were trying to do some different things with that cartoon. Like you know, at least it wasn't the same old dog and cat fighting or something like that. At least they were pushing the envelope a little bit.
The Hanna-Barbera cartoons, yeah.
It was different.
They're
not a fan.
I'm anticipating James asking if they missed anything.
Yes.
Because I have to say they did. They missed a very big one. It's called Rocko's Modern Life.
Thank you. That was the one I was going to go with. That's what I was going to say. Yep.
Talk about a truly bizarre show.
Yes.
And I don't know how they got away with half the stuff they got away with on that thing.
Heifer alone, like some of the things that Heifer would do. Rocco's voice. I got to look up who the voice actor was for that because I really loved the voice actor that did Rocco's voice.
Oh man,
gotta love that.
And the one that was missed, in my opinion, is Gargoyles.
Oh yeah! My goodness.
Nice. Oh, good one, Melissa. How about the '90s X-Men?
Another, oh my gosh.
It's a classic.
They're reviving that on Disney Plus. Yeah. I mean, that's how popular that one was.
Angry Beavers. Angry Beavers was a good one.
Oh, I barely remember that one.
But I don't know if it, and actually, I don't even know if that was a 90s one. So
it might be a 2000s one. Yeah,
it might be. What about Cat Dog? Cat Dog was great, too.
Oh, I don't remember Cat Dog.
Yeah.
Well, and did we mention Ren and Stimpy?
No.
Are they considered an 80s
one,
though?
I don't know. Yeah, I think they might be late 80s.
It came up on 90s.
Did it? Okay. Right. If it is considered 90s, it's an insult to this. I mean, this list is not correct then. To not have Ren and Stimpy in the top 15 is an insult.
I didn't watch Ren and Stimpy, and I'm not a big fan, but I know what it means.
Large pectoral muscles. Love Ren and Stimpy. It still makes me laugh. I don't know why, but it still does.
What about Futurama? That came out in 99.
It's a great one.
That's one. Oh, I told James this before, so I know. He knows this.
Yes.
I like Futurama better than The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I thought it was a better show.
And I think it says a lot about...
I'm surprised he has not ostracized you from...
Right.
I know.
No, I think it says a lot about my growth that I still talk to Seth.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that says a lot of growth for me. I think... King of the Hill, that's another one that people are mentioning. Bob the Builder. Fix it?
You know, I've met the original voice of Bob the Builder, William DeFreeze. Yeah, he's actually a really cool guy. But yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Oh, and what about Daria?
That's another good one.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think most of the list was supposed to be more kids shows. We're getting up into that. That's kind of when the adult cartoons started coming out.
Yeah.
Adult Swim started on Cartoon Network and everything like that.
God bless Adult Swim. Yes.
Space Ghost, Coast to Coast.
And Ed and Eddie. That's another one.
Oh my gosh. Mm. We could spend the rest of the show
about kids, Tiny Toon Adventures.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Great one. Great reference. Yes. Great reference, Melissa. We'll take a break. We'll come back after Melissa's news and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hello, you fool. I love you.
Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. With Roxette going in the background. Was that a Roxette?
That was Roxette. Okay. You got it. Yeah.
Keep my 90s card for
there
a little longer. For a little longer. We got some good stuff to get into yet this hour. Got a That Ain't Right story. Good stories of the day coming up in a little bit. Right now, though, marshmallows.
marshmallows.
We don't ask a lot of marshmallows. They should be firm and pillowy out of the bag, soft and gooey when heated, than they usually are. But now there's a new marshmallow innovation.
Oh, dear.
Jet Puffed has created a new limited edition marshmallow that will change colors when it hits with direct heat. Like at a campfire.
Okay.
The colors aren't a surprise. The pink marshmallows will turn orange. The blue marshmallows will turn green. The transformation doesn't take long, about 10 seconds after they're exposed to a flame. The jet-puffed color-changing marshmallows will be out soon, and they'll hang out around until September.
How about that?
That's fun. That's a different idea.
Sure.
I don't know, you know, I don't know how marshmallow sales are. I don't know if there's been.
I know. It's like one of those things.
Like, I don't mean
to. Need a new marshmallow?
I don't mean to sound ridiculous here, but to me, as a layman coming into the subject, it doesn't seem like marshmallows are healthy. So I don't know that you can necessarily. I don't know how you make a marshmallow healthy, so you can't necessarily go that route with
that,
it or anything.
No.
How do you change it up? How do you make things different? You've already done the size thing. You got the mini marshmallows, the big marshmallows,
the
all
big
that.
Gigantic ones now.
Yeah, yep. Big square ones.
You got different shapes now, too.
You already have even different colored marshmallows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But changing color marshmallows, that's a new one. That's different.
You're right. The toolbox for innovating marshmallows is not that big. Yeah. There's not a lot you can really do with it. So, well, why not? Let's give it a try. Let's try something a little bit different. But
yeah, there's not a whole lot to marshmallows.
Not really.
You can make them at home.
Ooh.
It's just marshmallow root powder, water, gelatin powder, honey, vanilla, and you can add, optionally, probiotics. Voila, healthy marshmallows.
Probiotic marshmallows. Wow.
That's interesting.
That is fascinating.
So according to from TasteWise, the 2023 report about marshmallows, social conversations about marshmallows have declined by negative 9.74% over the past year. 7.6% of restaurants offer marshmallows on the menu. The fastest rising consumer need for marshmallows is a snack, and the dominant diet for marshmallow is vegan.
Marshmallows are vegan.
Yeah.
How about that?
Only if they're not made with gelatin.
Right.
Right. Well, unless it's like fake gelatin, I guess.
Grass-fed gelatin.
Yeah. There you go.
As far as market and growth, the North American marshmallow market size was up 319.18 million in 2020. So in recent years, it hasn't done that bad.
No.
It's actually a very big in Egypt as well.
Really?
Marshmallows.
Nice. I love the real-time research we're getting on this topic. I like that. That's good. What other show is going to offer you that? I ask you.
I couldn't help myself. Every business is always looking for more money, is looking for more consumers,
right.
Of course. Mm-hmm. But this felt like there was a reason behind it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not to say that any business is good to just sit back and, you know, hey, we're doing good. We're fine. Like, that's how you lose your business. That's how you get ran over by the future and everything. So I was just curious if their sales were down or something like that, and that's why they did this. It does seem like the conversation is down, people talking about them, but not their sales. Their sales aren't down. So that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if there is a study out there, and maybe it's too new still, social media, to find out if, you know, chatter on social media for products actually leads to more sales. I wonder if anyone has actually done the numbers on that. You think they would have done at least some preliminary stuff on that to see if it's worth their while to do, you know, because we talk about it all the time on this show. You know, companies doing new things, innovative things with their products, mostly to get people talking about it. That's why they do it. And that's why it's limited edition. They only, you know, release a couple of them kind of thing. So anyway, yeah, I'm curious about that.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Any of you want to try these?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I guess so.
I don't like marshmallows. But my family likes s'mores and stuff. So it'd be interesting to see what actually happens when you heat them up.
Yeah. This is a weird...
When we do campfires at my family camp out, we always have s'mores. Obviously, you have to. So I like the marshmallows over the s'mores, or marshmallows over the fire. But my dad likes to bring stuff to make the fire different colors. So we already have a multicolored fire. I don't know if I need a multicolored marshmallow as well.
Yeah.
It's too confusing then.
Yeah, understandable.
Where's the fire stop and the marshmallow begin? I don't know.
No. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We're going to get into some local good stories in a moment. And, of course, we're going to start off the segment with a That Ain't Right story. How often do you not know whose pants you're wearing?
What?
A 62-year-old man in Pennsylvania named Cameron Bell was pulled over earlier this month because he stopped at an intersection where there wasn't a stop sign. The cops saw him and decided to see what his deal was. They pulled him over, and he was a mess. He failed a field sobriety test, and the officers discovered a half ounce of drugs in his pockets and everything, multiple different drugs in his sock, all this stuff. Cameron, though, insisted he was innocent. He said he didn't know how the drugs got into his pants and his socks and everything, and they weren't even his pants. He didn't know whose they were. As compelling as that argument is, Cameron was arrested and charged with multiple crimes, including possession. He is not going to see the sun for quite some time.
Yes.
If you're sitting there, you're the officer, it's been a long day. I don't care if you just started your shift. It's been a long day, okay?
Already, yeah.
And this guy's telling you, look, I don't even know how I got these pants. I don't know whose they are. Obviously he's on something and all those things,
yeah.
So you're not going to believe him. But I do love the idea of a completely sober person who's had no previous crimes or anything like that, tried to convince somebody, like, I don't know whose pants these are.
Somebody put these pants on me.
I don't know who put these pants on me. Look, I was just going to stop by and see you guys because I don't know who put pants on me, and I don't know if that's a law being broken or not. I'm glad you pulled me over because I was going to come over to your place anyway. I do think, like, this is not going to help you in a court of law or in prison, but I do think you get a couple points for creativity.
Just a couple.
They are worthless points. They will not help you at all.
No.
But I do, you know, I would have had
somebody else's pants.
It's a different excuse.
It's amazing they fit so well. You know, that's the thing. I can't they're just so nice.
That's hilarious.
They were nice pants. I just had to take them.
We have some local good stuff we wanted to touch on. It is Wednesday. That, of course, means bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. 5 o'clock, their doors open. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Join them every Wednesday at 6:30 for bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street. Not only fun, not only a way to get out and do something, but the Elks Lodge continues to do great things in our community. Mm-hmm. They hosted American Heroes Cafe this morning, just wrapped up at 9:30. Great people over there. By getting in some bingo or other activities over at the Elks Lodge, you are helping them continue to put back into our community.
Right. And I do know that right now they are looking for new members. They're doing kind of a new member drive. So if you're interested in joining the Elks, now's the perfect time to do that.
Melissa brought this up earlier. We were actually talking about it. The book drive going on with our United Way. There's just two more days for this. It all wraps up on the 28th. This is where we encourage you to drop off books or cash donations at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time to donate new or gently used children's books. The biggest needs are those baby board books and easy readers.
Mm-hmm.
This is also, we can give these books away during the Great Book Giveaway, June 6th through the 13th, all in our local area here.
Yeah.
And if you can't donate books, you can donate money.
That's true.
You are investing in our future. You are helping kids read. That is never going to be. There's never going to be a time in society where, these kids are reading too much.
Stop those kids from reading.
It's a good thing. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org and find out more about our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Be listening this Friday. Terry joins us. We'll be touching on things with them.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And Run the Rapids 5K Run Walk going on this Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Wisconsin. It all kicks off at the Wisconsin Rapids Centralia Center. The Wood County Human Services Department, Southwood County YMCA, joined forces along with other businesses around here to help prevent child abuse prevention.
Yeah,
I would like to think in these controversial times, I can say child abuse is wrong, and 100% of the audience will agree with me.
I really hope so.
I really, really hope so. I would like to think that this is one of those topics we can all be on the same page and everything. You shouldn't hurt kids. There's no scenario in human history where it's okay.
Yep.
This is a great opportunity to not only get out, have some fun, maybe even bring the stroller if you want to walk it with the kids or something. Become
just
a part.
The pup.
Yes, just no dogs, please no dogs. Become part of this beloved event that rolls along the Wisconsin River. Proceeds benefit the Wood County Human Services Department, Child Abuse Prevention Initiatives, and Community Services at the South County YMCA. You can register right now. Just go to runtherapids.itsyourrace.com, runtherapids.itsyourrace.com. The Kids Dash kicks off at 8:30, the run itself at 9, and awards and refreshments will follow.
Nice.
Fun times.
Yeah, it's cool time. It's going to be a cool one.
Yep.
And I just wanted to throw this one out there because I guess there's – I haven't seen it, but I guess there's been some feedback on this one that some people haven't been too – didn't like this too much or whatever. And I didn't hear why, but an elementary school teacher in Texas named Krisha Powell took the sting out of state testing. On exam day, she gave each student a, quote, survival kit that included snacks and a letter of support from someone who loves you.
Oh.
She recently asked the parents and guardians to write those letters, and the video she posted from testing day has racked up over 2.1 million views on TikTok. Just these kids getting, you know, being surprised by getting a letter from mom and dad or something during school right before they take a test.
Wow.
And a snack.
That seems pretty
cool.
What's
wrong with that? Yeah, that's awesome.
This is one of those times I have not even looked at the comment section. Like, I heard going into the article that there was some people were had some questions about it. And just even that was like, no. I don't need this. I got a good feeling from this story. Yeah. I'm just moving on. It's not, you know.
Well, it's such an anxious time for kids, too. Anything to help them. It's a great way of doing it. It's, yeah.
Testing is tough, and those days are long for kids when they have to take all those tests back to back.
Yeah, it's rough.
And it feels like a lot of pressure.
Of course, Hoozle's Rise to Music is open for registration, everybody. We encourage you to get to hoozlesrisetomusic.com. Sign up. If you're a musician, if you know musicians, spread the word about this. We want you to be a part of it. It's going to be such a fun event. We'll talk more about it tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
Coming up on Morning Magazine, Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, and Jacob Wagner from the Wood County Health Department are going to join us.
Nice.
Got plenty to talk about with them. And then in part two, we're going to catch up with our friends at the ODC. Our main topic is mental health awareness, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Very cool.
So plenty coming up. You two have a great day. Thanks for a great show.
You too.
Yeah, you too, guys.
We'll talk with you tomorrow on tomorrow's morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.